Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. What a beautiful morning to gather together for worship and praise. It is so good to be here with you this morning. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon. We are talking about call ministry here, and I just want to take a second to thank Pastor John and Pastor Lindsay for allowing me to continue in my retirement living out my call as a deacon here amongst all of you, and what a blessing that is to me. So thank you very much for that. We are continuing our series on call this morning. John's going to talk a little bit about saying yes to your call in life. And we are a church here that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways, some of which you can find in your bulletin, some of which were flashing on the screen in front of you for a little while earlier this morning, and some are on that connection card. So take that connection card out of your bulletin and fill that out, look it over. Let us know if there's things that you want more information about or want to get involved in, and we will make that happen for you. There are also prayer cards in the pews. This is a praying congregation, so if you need prayer for yourself or someone you love, please don't hesitate to fill out one of those cards. There is also a place on the card to mark that it is confidential, so if it's a prayer that you want just for the pastors to see, that can happen as well. Today, helping in worship are Liz Hoover and Carol Kaputska, and obviously the choir is here this morning, so it's going to be a great service. If you have not already sent your little ones off to Sunday school, please do so now. They've got a great time happening down there this morning, and so we want to encourage you to do that. I have three important announcements this morning. First is the beginning of our Advent study, and it begins the 29th. Wednesdays at 6:30, we'll be here if you want to do it here. We'd love to have you come and have cookies and community and then break into small groups to study the Scott Crosstech book, Advent, A Season of Surprises. So check that out in the community room. Tickets are on sale today for the taco dinner. That dinner follows the Christmas musical that the kids have. If you have not seen those kids do their thing, you are missing out. It is a fabulous adventure and a fabulous performance. So please take note of that and put that on your calendar. And lastly, our church conference is Monday. That's tomorrow, folks, 7 o'clock. We'll be voting on the nomination slate as well as a new piece for the endowment committee, charter for them. So please, if you want to get in the know and have a say, please come to the meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. It will be in the community room right out here. Those are my announcements for this morning, and so I'm going to turn this over, and we're going to sing our opening song, God of Grace and God of Glory, song number 577. Please stand.
Thank you. morning. Boy, that was a real treat for me this morning. I had Tom over here singing in one ear, and I walked over here, and I've got Larry singing. Oh, that was great. I loved it. Anyway, good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, heavenly one who protects and guides us, we pray to hear your call. Lead us into the places that you would have us serve. Help us to grow into your calling for our lives. Guide us into the ways that we can spread your message of love. To you, we humbly bring these prayers. Amen. You may be seated. We get the scripture lesson ahead of time, and I always quake a little bit because there are a lot of words that I can't pronounce, but this week is really good. No hard words. The scripture this week is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wanted to give you a break because the last couple of times I've preached, I've given the liturgist like a book to read, you know, a whole chapter of the Bible. And this week I just kind of was like an underhand slow pitch for you. So there you go. You knocked it out of the park for what it's worth. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who asks us all, "Whom shall I send?" Amen. So I want to set the scene for you of this particular portion of Scripture there's this moment where Isaiah is standing inside the temple, and he's, you know, in the midst of, I imagine, sort of being in the presence of God, praying, being just there, right? And all of a sudden, he sees not necessarily the entirety of God, but just like almost the hem of his garment hanging down into the temple area, and there are angels sort of flying all throughout this space, right? And literally, Isaiah just sort of seems to overhear God's voice, like, whom shall we send? Like, who's on our side? Who might we dispatch to go out and do the important work of advocating for people who are less fortunate, of rising up leaders to transform the world? And Isaiah just sort of happens to be in the room, and Isaiah's sort of like that little kid, right, in gym class when they're picking teams, right? And he's like, pick me, send me, please send me, God. I mean, I just like imagine Isaiah being like, I have gifts that I have to offer. I'm here. I'm at your service. I'm in the temple. I'm praying, like, will you please pick me for your team? Have you ever wanted to be a part of God's team? Have you ever felt like you were called to be a part of something that God was up to in the world? It doesn't matter if it's big or small. It doesn't matter if it's larger than what you feel like you have the capacity to do, or if it's something that's sort of extraordinarily ordinary. But in this particular passage, Isaiah feels like God might have been referring to him. It's almost like he overhears God speaking to the angels and says, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Callings come in all different kinds of ways. Oftentimes we think that it has to be this like clear, obvious voice from God that says, it's time for you to do something in the world. But sometimes it's a quiet, whispering voice. Other times in our life, it's clear as a bell. And sometimes we have to sort of look for it in order to find it. There are all kinds of callings in scriptures. One of my favorite ones is when the disciples get together and they're trying to figure out who is going to replace Judas, the person who abandoned Jesus and betrayed him. And essentially the disciples are like, who do we think God is calling? I have an idea. Let's roll the dice and figure out whether or not it's Matthias. And it ends up being Matthias. That's who ends up getting called, simply by a roll of the dice. That's one way that it happened in the scriptures. Another way that it happened in the scriptures is Abraham was said to just be listening to God. And God came to him and said, Abraham, if you're willing to leave all of your people, your country, your family, your friends, and go into this new place to which I'm calling you, if you're willing to give up everything that you had, your familiar places, all of the comfort that comes with living at home, and go to a brand new place, I will make you a father of all nations. I will make your descendants outnumber the number of stars in the sky. And then the next passage says, so Abram went. Oh, what a decision. I mean, in those days, it was uncommon for people to leave their family business, right? For the most part, skills were passed down from one generation to the next. If your dad was a carpenter, your grandfather was probably a carpenter, your great-grandfather was a carpenter, and you just kind of kept doing the same thing that the family had done for years and years and years. And Abraham, in this moment, was called by God to leave all of the comfort and security of the family business to go out and do something brand new. The Apostle Paul was just walking, right? And all of a sudden, he was knocked onto his back. He was blinded. He wasn't able to see. And God said, you know, Paul, or Saul at the time, I have a completely different purpose in mind for you. Despite the fact that you were a persecutor of the church, you put people to death who are worshiping me. Now you're going to come play for my team. Story after story, right, of people whose lives were going in a particular direction. They had it all figured out. And one of my favorite things about folks who are called into ministry is listening to their call stories, because time after time in seminary, you'd be sitting in the classroom with other people who felt called to be a pastor, and you'd be like, so, you know, like the class would get a little boring. You'd be like, so why are you doing this? And they would start telling their story. And people who had high-paying jobs in the financial world would set aside all of that to go pursue this calling in ministry. Another friend of mine in seminary was an attorney. He was a prosecuting attorney in the Chicagoland area, and all of a sudden he was in the midst of this trial one day, and suddenly God said, I need you to switch teams here. I need you to go to seminary. You're no longer called to this particular form of work. And so sure enough, he went in and renounced his role as a prosecuting attorney and decided to quit his job and go straight into the ministry. There are all kinds of call stories. In this particular church alone, I sometimes every once in a while find myself amazed that so many pastors have determined that they were called into the ministry literally sitting in the exact same pews that you're all sitting in right now. There have been math teachers who decided that it was time to go to seminary, and they decided to leave their role of teaching students how to, you know, do algebra and whatever else Reverend Sue Patu was teaching at the time. And she decided that it was her calling to go down to the city of Detroit and work at Cass Community Social Services as a deacon in our church. There are other folks who were here in the midst of discerning their call to ministry, and they were recruited to pastor a church in Leawood, Kansas with Adam Hamilton at the largest United Methodist church in the country, and that would be Scott Crosstech, who in a couple of weeks we're going to be starting to read his book about Advent, the season of surprises. But while he was here, he was sort of learning and discerning his own call to ministry as an associate pastor here in our midst, and this church helped nurture him in his call to faith. Bob Miller, the pastor of Plymouth First, Susie Hutchison, the associate pastor of Plymouth First, and dozens of other people who, over the course of this church's history, you all have been a part of nurturing their call to ministry, and I can really see why. Because of your encouraging words and your deep care for the clergy who have served in the stewardship campaign, two people got up here, and part of their testimony was about the pastors that they had worked alongside that had made their lives a little bit better. But here's the great thing about ministry. We're all called to it. I love call stories of lay folks who come up in the course of a day or a week, and they come up and they share, you know, I have to tell you, I don't know why it is, but for some reason I'm feeling called to make items for the gift bags that we're going to give out to first-time guests at our church. So a couple of months ago, Judy Latwinick came to Pastor Lynn and said, I have an idea for something that we can give out to people who are walking into our church for the very first time. And within a very short period of time, a whole plan was devised. And now I might butcher this because it's a brand new ministry, but I believe they're calling themselves the Bag Ladies. Is that correct? I'm looking for confirmation. But they've just got this thing off the ground where they're creating these beautiful things, which, has anybody else burned their hands pulling a bowl of soup out of the microwave? Anybody with me on this? So these ladies want to put an end to that. And so they have been sewing these beautiful things that, like, when you put the bowl in, I mean, this requires planning and forethought, something that I struggle with from time to time. But if you put the bowl in with this hot pad underneath it before you put your bowl of soup inside the microwave, you fire up the microwave, you go to get it out, and lo and behold, this beautifully knitted or sewn thing will not allow your hands to be burned. Calling. Not necessarily just about preventing people from getting burned by the soup, but by communicating that our church is a church of makers, of people who create things, people who make homemade things to make people's lives a little bit better. So every Wednesday, Judy's been gathering with a large group of folks who are sewing downstairs, creating these beautiful things. In addition to that, right next to it is Days for Girls. There's like cross-fertilization. I mean, it's like that scene in The Three Amigos. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that movie, but at the very end of it, you know, it's like, what's one thing this town really does well? And everyone's like thinking, it's quiet. And finally, a woman speaks up and she says, we can sew. And all of a sudden, the entire town is like busy on these sewing machines, right? Like knitting all of these costumes. So it looks like instead of there being three amigos, there's millions of amigos. That's what it looks like downstairs in our church, calling. Not only a calling to create beautiful things, but also a calling to make sure that every time somebody walks into this church for the first time, people feel welcome. Yesterday, our choir was featured at the end of the Holiday Glow experience in downtown Brighton, and Lindsay says that you guys were singing beautifully. That's good. Okay. The choir's like, oh, maybe we were. Maybe you feel called to create music and to sing in the choir or to play in the bells. Maybe you feel called to sing with our praise team. Maybe you're feeling called in this particular moment to serve at the same time that the bells were singing and crafts were being sold down at Whitmore Lake. There was a group of folks that went down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit working alongside those who are trying to improve the lives of homeless folks. Yesterday was a fairly busy day at the church. Activities happening in all places. Maybe you feel called right now to grow in your faith. At the same time all those things were happening, there was a group of people meeting inside the library of the church to discuss all kinds of questions, wrestling with doubt and all the questions of the faith. Right here, people of faith, every Saturday morning gathers to wrestle with all those questions. Callings can come in all different kinds of ways. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the more famous pastors, developed a call to ministry. He actually decided at first he was going to be a doctor. That's what he decided to do, is preaching was sort of the family business, and he was like, I don't really want to become a pastor like my father. And so sure enough, he said, I was going to be a doctor. And then he went to school and continued, and he said, actually, I've decided that there are some unjust laws in this land, and I really would rather be an attorney. That's what he decided he wanted to be. And finally, when all of those things sort of like struck out for him, Martin Luther King said, all right, fine. If I have to, I'll be a pastor. Another call story, Archbishop Desmond Tutu decided he wanted to go into the ministry when a white Anglican priest came to South Africa, and he took off of his hat, a sign of the utmost respect, this white guy, an old white guy apparently, and he got down on his hands and his knees, and he looked Archbishop Desmond Tutu's mother in her eyes, and for the first time, a white man treated an African woman with the utmost dignity and respect, and he said, surely God must be incredibly powerful to create this dynamic where a relationship could be created with a European white guy and my African mother. I think about these stories of calling, these moments in people's lives that stand out, where you're just like Isaiah, you might just be sitting in the temple and suddenly a voice comes to you, I'm looking for folks to send. Who ought we to send? And I hope over the course of your life you develop a posture, an openness, a kind of like ears that are listening, like, God, if there's some place that you're asking me to go, I'll do it. I guarantee your life will never be the same. I love that Loretta mentioned her ability to live out her calling in this church, and we can't thank you enough for being who you are, the person who God created you to be, to continue to live out your gifts and continue to serve in our midst. And Pastor Lindsay and I were so excited last week when Barbara Niece May shared her first sermon ever as a person who's discerning a call to ministry, and we trust and believe that you'll continue to nurture and allow her to continue to hear that call. We're so grateful that there have been retired pastors who have come back to this church and said, this is where we want our spiritual home to be. This is where I want to continue to live out God's call and purpose in my life. And I saw Lynn like 10 minutes ago, but I'm not like picking her up in my scan. She might be out of the room at the moment, but I'm so grateful Pastor Lynn is with us as well to share her gifts. My question to you this morning is, where is God calling you to be right now? What is it about yourself. Maybe it's a unique gift that you have. Maybe it's that you can sew. Maybe it's that you can lead a group of people. Maybe it's that you can write cards. Maybe it's you're really good at making phone calls or sending texts to people that you care about. Maybe it's that you feel uniquely able to lead a brand new ministry that nobody's thought about yet. Maybe it's that you have a huge heart for people who are grieving and you feel called to walk alongside people when they're going through the shadow periods of their life. Maybe it's that you're really good at welcoming people. And I have been so impressed every once in a while when I walk into the church, even though, you know, like I have some official business here, I love how ushers and greeters go out of their way and they're just like, "Welcome to church, Pastor John." And I'm like, "You guys pass inspection. Good job." What is your calling? And when you hear that calling, I hope, like Isaiah in the temple, you're willing to put your hand up and say, "Choose me." I love that this church is a church that affirms people in their calling, whether it be to professional ministry or their calling to do something extraordinary to make the world a better place as a laity. I'm so grateful to be a part of a community that allows people to vocalize their calling and listen for it and develop it and cultivate it and nurture it so that we can all answer God's call for us to go wherever it is that God's calling us to go. Thanks be to God that God continues to call us with those quiet voices, or at times like the Apostle Paul, right, by knocking us on the back and completely clouding our vision so that we have no choice but to answer what God's calling us to do. One of my favorite authors, Frederick Buechner, if you haven't read him, he's a little bit complicated sometimes to understand, but this I think he makes perfectly clear. Your calling oftentimes is where your deepest gladness and the greatest hunger of the world intersect. I wonder where it is in the world that you're finding your deepest gladness, and where those great gladnesses might line up with the great needs of the world. This week, we'll be hearing a presentation, and I've talked about this a little bit before, from Jeff Knopp, who went down to Redbird, and he was so excited about the fact that he thought, because we're from Detroit and we're sort of car people and we understand vehicles, that maybe we'd be able to help replace a portion of the Redbird fleet down in Kentucky that is like, you know, ancient vehicles that they're putting together with duct tape and bubble gum. And this is the thing about calling, is every once in a while when somebody pitches an idea, like your first reaction is, "Wow, that's pretty ambitious," right? Like buying vehicles. And these days, cars, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, they're fairly expensive, right? And Jeff said, you know, kind of in an unrelenting way, I think this is what I'm called to do. And sure enough, he said, "I think we ought to invite other churches to participate in this, because there's lots of churches out there and lots of groups that have come to Redbird over the years." And the very first phone call that we made was to another church in Rochester, Michigan. And sure enough, like immediately they said, "Well, we've been looking for a way to support Redbird. We have a check that we'll put in the mail tomorrow to help you fundraise to help get these minivans." Every once in a while, when we think something is impossible, when God is calling somebody to do it, it's almost like the Israelites walking across the Red Sea, and suddenly there are walls of water on either side that allow you to walk through where God's calling you to go. May you have the courage to say yes when God calls you by name. May you have the courage to say yes when God is just saying, "I don't even know who to send. I just need somebody," that you would say, "Put me in, coach. Choose me." Because you're all called. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
So as we enter into a time of prayer, of course, I have to give you a little bit of pre-prayer. So my story of calling is one of those that is kind of odd, I would think. So I have a couple of ways that I assist in the church. And obviously one of them is what I'm doing right now. But one of the other ways that I was called into service, I guess you could say, was I have, for the most part, gone to the 11 o'clock service because it's more contemporary. I like the band and the music, and it always drew me to that service. So Stephanie Nickoff, Stephanie and Mike, and I have always kind of gone to service together. And it's funny because Stephanie always said, well, I don't really care for the music necessarily, but I like the message. And I was always, oh, I like the music and I enjoy the message, but that's not what I get out of the service. I get my pleasure out of the music, and that's where I get my message. And so I first started out at the soundboard and was helping with the band, and then I got the call. And I don't know why I got the call. I kind of think it was Jesus in the bushes going, hey, I think you could do that. But I have a gift for having the rhythm of the band, so to speak. And so I asked Mike, I said, do you think I could play the tambourine? And he said, well, let's give it a whirl. And so my calling is to play the tambourine in the band because it allows me to keep the rhythm and to participate in the service that I love. And I also think I give a little bit of pleasure to, like, I don't know what you'd call it, but I feel like that I can, like, resonate the joy of the music in the service by people seeing that I just love to dance during the service, kind of. I keep it down to a dull roar, but sometimes I can shake it a little bit, you know, out of control. And, you know, if you haven't been to the 11 o'clock service, then come see me play the tambourine. So that's my calling. So it doesn't have to be a great, you know, calling to speak the word of the Lord and in prayer or in a sermon, but you can play the tambourine. So let's pray. We pray today, Lord, for you to guide us in our meditations on where you are calling us in our journey through life, to not just turn away or put it in the far reaches of our brains, but to sit with you in the thoughts and seriously explore what we can do. Look at the paths ahead of us and choose one that you are calling us to. Lead us into those moments. Shine the light for us. Protect us from the anxiety and the thoughts of I can't. There are so many forces of evil that are pushing against us and the people around us. We pray for the ability to stand up against them and be a force in your name that responds to these, responds when called to help those in need. We call out to you for ourselves, but also for others, others that are experiencing oppression, violence, or addiction. We send prayers of peace to those who are looking for shelter, experiencing hunger or suffering mental illness. Send us a call if this is where we may help. Today we fill the quilts made for Sally Ann Davidson and Kathy Smith with our prayers for peace and comfort. After service, we tie knots in these quilts as a way of personally sending healing prayers and making once ordinary material into extraordinary vessels of love and support. Send us a call if we may help through a skill in making things. When you ask, whom shall I send? Help us to step forward. Give us confidence. Settle our own worries so that we may be able to hear your calling. bring to an end the thoughts that are not worthy of the task, whatever it may be. Instead, we pray for you to fill us with ideas, however small or big, that lead us to that first step. Send us a call if our service through prayer is through prayer, lay speaking, or ushering. We are also thankful for the differences among us. But in our history and today, those differences have been a source of contention in society. The fear of differences has started wars and resulted in discrimination or brought about segregation of individuals and whole races. But we are thankful for each of our differences, for that leads to so much variety in our skills, in our interests, and in the ways to fulfill your calling, in the ways that you will ask us to help, and the ways that we will answer. All of our differences should not make for gaps between us, but make for pieces of a puzzle that all connect together. Send us a call if participating in groups like Church and Society is how we may help. We praise you today for all the opportunities that you send. And in silent prayer now, we will take a quiet moment to reflect on what you are calling us to do. And now let's join our voices in prayer in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I can testify that Carol is, in fact, called to play the tambourine. So thank you for sharing your call story. Another person who is clearly called into the work of ministry is Randy Clausen, who has felt for quite some time called to work towards justice and peace, both. And so she's the chair of our Church and Society Committee, which is celebrating this weekend 2 years of their work in our community and in our church to transform our society, to make the world look a little bit more like heaven. So please welcome Randy. She's going to come forward and share a mission moment with us.
And there's a Church and Society, because you went to bat in the admin board agreed that we would have a Church and Society committee here at the church. And so now you're all here celebrating with us, and the celebration will continue after the service. And there are information packets out there that you will be able to know a little bit more about what the Church and Society is about. But it is about love and justice. And we started out, we assumed that God is not neutral about our choices or our mission, and that the Holy Spirit is our guide. The mission of the Church and Society Committee is transformation. Now, as good Methodists, you know that Methodists our motto is we join together, all United Methodists, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by proclaiming the good news of God's grace as we love God and neighbor. Church and Society participants realize the privilege and experience of joy, being Jesus' sent ones, and they are on a justice adventure. Now, while affirming the intersectionality of justice work, the Church and Society, the big Church and Society, the general board of Church and Society, organizes the principles that you and I live by, social principles, into four groups that they name communities. And so I'm going to introduce you to the communities, the people that are working in each of these four groups. And so I want you to know that the when I introduce the name of the community, the people who are actively working in it, I'm going to ask you please to stand and remain standing while I finish introducing you. In that way now, if you feel a nudge today from the pastor's message, then you'll see who you need to talk to get that nudge taken care of. So the newest community in alphabetical order, the Community of All Creation Justice Project. Now, the project leader is Libby Bruff, and Libby is standing back there. This community will include a church-wide green team, and you're invited to participate. Part of there is Caring for All projects, and a disability community project will coordinate justice, accommodations, and actions on behalf of all those dealing with differing needs. So let's celebrate the Community of All Creation Justice Project. Thank you, Libby. The next community is the Economic Justice Community, and I want to say that not everybody that's working on that community is here, because some of them are with Carol going to the 11 o'clock service, and they're out there getting your refreshments ready for after the service. So, co-directors of the community are Pam Coomer and Ann Sparling, and everybody else that's working with the community, will please stand. Okay, thank you. This community are active with elected officials and decision makers promoting improvement in the Let's Bus system. They are acting collaboratively within community organizations, taking actions to change systems that perpetuate injustice and poverty. Let's celebrate the Economic Justice Community Project. The next project, the Political Community Justice Project. Oops, no one's celebrating yet. No outflow from Brighton in this particular project. But I do have a long list of topics that fall under this justice project. And if you are nudged at all, I hope the Holy Spirit's nudging you towards the Political Community Justice Project. The next one is called the Social Community Justice Project. It is being led by co-directors of Susan Everett and Cara Sewell, 11 o'clock people, and co-director Barbara Neese May. Well, everybody that's working, there's an event planner, Chip, that's going to be planning an event that are going to help parents navigate gun violence, and there's the LGBTQ plus justice project with Heather Budhoff. And so if you are a leader in this or participating in it, please stand. So we got, if you are, thank you. Now this community, we appreciate their work as a congregation. You have experienced some of their work in the trainings that have connected us to the justice needs of this church. They are active in racial equity and racial justice and the LGBTQ situation, and we appreciate them. Let's give them a hand. The Michigan Conference, Methodists are a connectional church, and the Michigan Conference of Church and Society is an entity that we connect with, and we maintain a working relationship with them. And this past year, they organized an advocacy day in Lansing. Please stand if you were part of the 350-plus United Methodists that were at Lansing advocating. All right, thanks. They are advocating for gun safety, and let's celebrate their success. The bills that they advocated for passed, and we can thank God for that. Now, you know, Paul was writing for prison, and he shares his example, and he shared something, a good advice that he has given each one of us, but given us in particular, and that is to press on. In Philippians, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Friends, do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards a goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So in our calls, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So join us as we press on. May it be so.
I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and prepare and start coming forward to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. As you now know, there is a lot going on in this church. And it is through your generous time and money and commitment that we continue to advocate for the poor, that we continue to set prisoners free, and that we continue to welcome the stranger among us. So please, as the plates pass, make sure you put your connection cards in as well as your offerings for this week. Thank you.
Offerings to you out of love and service. Guide us to use these offerings in building up this church so that we may grow in serving you. In your name we pray. Amen.
I will name the stars of night. I will name.
I don't know about you, but I love that song. Every year at annual conference, we sing that song, and there are folks from the Board of Ordained Ministry who stand up in the front of the conference floor, and the bishop asks the question, "Do you feel called?" And at that time, folks are able to come forward and say, "Yes, here I am, Lord." And there are folks from the Board of Ordained Ministry which credentials people to become pastors in the United Methodist Church that lay hands on people who are saying yes. So consider this a moment where we're all laying hands on each other, putting our hands on one another's shoulders, saying, "I hope you answer your call." Maybe it's to shake the tambourine. Maybe it's to go out into the world with a voice for justice. Maybe it's to sing on a freezing cold Saturday evening in downtown Brighton, lighting up the streets. Maybe it's to woodworking or sewing. Maybe it's to teaching Sunday school or leading the PTO. Maybe it's to simply being a wonderful volunteer at youth group. But here we are. We say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." As you go out into the world, may you hold on to God's call on your life, whatever it may be, because you are called and you are gifted. Thanks be to God. Let us go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.